Emily's List puts Mike Pence on notice, praises Glenda Ritz, and a key Democrat criticizes the Ritz candidacy. Why Indiana is targeting Connecticut jobs, advertising for HIP 2.0, and the First Church of Cannabis opens its doors. That plus the Walmart fight and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 12, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, Glenda Ritz learned she may get support from a key Washington political action committee, but she was also criticized by a Democratic county chairman, Dave Crooks, who believes her campaign will split the party. Ritz announced her bid for the Democratic nomination for governor just last week. This week, Emily's List put Republican Governor Mike Pence on its target list. Spokeswoman Marcy Stetch says Emily's List has talked with Ritz about providing financial support.
We decided to put him on notice because we want to hold him accountable for his record of putting his own ideological agenda ahead of creating greater opportunity for Indiana families.
And I think Democrats right now need a uniter, not a divider. So I don't think Glenda Ritz is our best candidate for governor.
And that's Dave Crooks, the Daviess County Democratic chairman. Is support from Emily's List a make-or-break decision for Glenda Ritz? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican John Hammond. John Schwannis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Schella. Ann Delaney, what counts more, support from Washington, D.C., or support from Washington, Indiana?
Well, I think obviously monetary support counts more. I mean, I know Dave Crooks, and I know he's a friend of John Gregg's, and that's great that there's friendship there, but he needs to take a chill pill. I mean, he needs to keep his eye on the target, and the target is Mike Pence. It's not fellow Democrats. I'm not even sure the
That's what he's saying Glenda Ritz needs to do.
No, right? No. We haven't determined who the candidate's going to be yet, and we don't even know whether the field is set yet. And it's obvious that the target's got to be Mike Pence, and that's the way it's got to be. And you can then make your case for why you're the more articulate or the better-funded candidate to run against him, but we don't need to be sniping at each other. That's a mistake.
Well, what's the bigger news here, the divisiveness in the Indiana Democratic Party or the fact that there's Washington money that's targeted Mike Pence?
Well, the Washington money targeting Mike Pence, Emily's List, is not a new thing. They've targeted Mike Pence since he first ran for office, public office.
So. But they only support women Democrat candidates. So unless you have a woman running against
right.
him, that target doesn't
that's
mean
right. That's right. And they've never been particularly effective in statewide results. 2014, they had a very poor track record. So, but I think for Mike Pence, it's good news that there's disarray within the Democratic Party. Obviously, if you had three or four folks running for the Democratic nomination, that splits that party up, and I think it helps Mike Pence.
So that happens in the Senate race when you have three or four Republicans running
well,
as well.
That's not the
huh?
question for this week, man.
Next week.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun 2016. In the meantime, the Glenda Ritz campaign's created the buzz. Positive, negative, people are talking about it more so than John Gregg or Karen Talion.
I think so. This week, certainly. I mean, her coming out, she had a public event. It wasn't a video release, as John Gregg resorted to. And because of the various reasons that we're discussing here with the national money and the rift that has been now brewing clearly for 2+ years between Mike Pence and Glenda Ritz, this has what media outlets like. I mean, this is a professional wrestling match of sorts. And whether they'll actually hurt each other or not, I don't know, or if they'll pretend, as you say. But I am awed by the poetry of your question, Washington, D.C. versus Washington. I'm going to take the rest of the show just to admire that.
Thank you. That's where Dave Crooks lives and works in Washington, Indiana. And him speaking out like this is unusual.
Yeah, and I think Ann hit it on the head. He and John Gregg go way back. They are close. I think that that's a little to be expected, and I think it's awful early to be worried about the ultimate effect. I think it's important to note that Glenda Ritz, when she made her announcement, didn't take shots at her Democrat opponents. She took shots at the governor. I think if you have that kind of a primary, and then you can unite behind that, then you have the opportunity. That's the challenge and the opportunity, and so far it's been a clean situation. And
well, keep in mind, though, these are the surrogates doing the talking.
Well, and that's why the principals
3 years ago always used surrogates.
Yeah, but the principals in this particular case, the Democratic candidates, need to tell their surrogates to put a lid on it, and I think that'll happen from here forward, I hope.
All right, Indiana is now in a growing battle with Connecticut based on taxes and RFRA. A full-page State of Indiana ad in the Wall Street Journal names three Connecticut companies because, it says, friends don't let friends pay higher taxes. The companies, Aetna, GE, and Travelers, all publicly opposed recent tax hikes.
They're experiencing significant economic harm, and why not direct our attention to them specifically?
Connecticut politicians are on the defensive.
They have wonderful, good employees in the state of Connecticut.
We want those jobs to stay in Connecticut.
Worth noting, Connecticut banned state travel to Indiana during the RFRA controversy, and the governor said this about Mike Pence.
When you see a bigot, you have to call him on it. When it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
And RFRA is the reason why Indiana Democrats are attacking the Wall Street Journal ad.
The governor continues to spend money to fix a reputation and an economic panic that he caused for Hoosiers.
But the Pence administration says this is part of an ongoing strategy and nothing new.
The response has just been fantastic. People are talking even more about Indiana's low cost of doing business, low regulation, and it's gotten the response that we wanted.
John Hammond, is the Wall Street Journal ad retaliation for the Connecticut governor's RFRA comments?
No, it has no connection to RFRA. What it has a connection to, a complete connection to, a very strong, ongoing, aggressive job creation, job competing approach versus, you know, other states to bring jobs to Hoosiers in Indiana. And that's a continuation of a theme of a lot of governors, not just Republican governors, Indiana Democratic governors as well.
Indiana's used this strategy against Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and California previously, but they haven't targeted individual companies like this.
Well, it's an opportunity here because it was put into issue by the three companies.
Because they fought,
Aetna, and Travelers, and
they fought the tax increases.
And they all have a presence to some degree today in Indiana. It makes perfect sense. It's a very, very logical target to help bring some new.
Meantime, did this turn into the kind of fight that Mike Pence didn't want to have because of the way the Connecticut
governor? Of course, it's about RFRA.
Because the Connecticut governor has responded again today.
Exactly, because it's political retaliation is what it is, and it should have been paid for with his campaign money. But the irony of this whole approach, if it is economic development, giving the benefit of the doubt on this, it's insanity. You know, what's the definition? You do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. We've cut taxes. We've eviscerated the middle class here. We've broken the unions. We've done everything to make this a business-friendly climate. And what happens? We're seventh from the bottom in economic development. Seventh from the bottom. And on top of that, our per capita income continues to shrink. We do the same thing over and over again, and the same result comes.
Well, I'm going to interject, because the same thing we've done over and over again has produced a record level of private sector employment in the state, mm-hmm. 100,000 new net jobs mm-hmm. since Mike Pence has taken office. That's a pretty good strategy,
and
it's working
income,
well. It's worked very well in past administrations as well. It's a very aggressive tactic.
Yeah. And our income, the kinds of jobs he's getting, our income has shrunk from 91% of the federal per capita income to 86% under his watch.
We have more jobs, don't pay a living wage.
Let's start with the new jobs and we can grow from there.
Let's go to John.
We're not growing anywhere.
Let's go
That's
to John. One of the companies in Connecticut, I believe it's GE, says they've already formed a committee to look at moving their headquarters. Is there the potential that this strategy will work for Indiana?
Well, there's always a potential, but the likelihood is very small. Clearly, there are some pretty heavy games going on in Connecticut. There's a large battle between these corporations and the government there, and they're looking for leverage. The corporations need leverage, and so this is part of that for them. I think it was a very clever play by the governor and the state to make the appeal that they did. I think Ann raises a good point about the economic situation. The jobs are there, but we need to find a way to bring the entire economy up. These are, you know, AAA companies. If you're going to go after a whale, or if you're going to go fishing, you might as well go after the whale, and that's what they're doing here.
Yeah, this is not part of the money that we've heard so much about, the $2 million that is meant to refurbish Indiana's reputation. This is money that was previously allocated.
Correct. So if you want to look at it in a very, as an accountant might, you're right, there are two different issues. But again, this isn't entirely accounting. This is politics. This is perception and optics. And, you know, other states have, as noted, this is a fairly old tactic. I mean, this is bold to kind of do it, at the height of a budget debate in another state, sort of to stick your nose into the fight. But I think Texas, if I'm not mistaken, even in this situation, has also made a similar overture. The reason, this reminds me of your question a moment ago, why the Ritz debate with Pence is getting more attention, because of the RFRA fight between the governor of Connecticut and Mike Pence. Keep in mind that there was not a similar fight between the governor of Texas and the governor of Connecticut.
Right.
So it's natural. None of these things unfold in a vacuum. And so you already have a history. And so it's quite natural that news organizations and groups like this would sit around and say, is this an outgrowth of that that ill will from an earlier debate?
John, let's stipulate that we compete all over the country for jobs to come to Indiana. This is very aggressive. And every state does it. And we've done it with and against Illinois, Michigan, Ohio. Connecticut's just the next one in line, and they've got a $1.1 billion tax increase on top of it with another $700 million for business tax increases. So why wouldn't you want to think about leaving that state? And if they're going to leave, why not come to Indiana?
Well, I can tell you why you wouldn't come to Indiana. Because A, because of RFRA, and B, because we don't invest in education in Indiana, in infrastructure in Indiana, or anything else.
The
dollar you save on tax money,
you talked about Emily's list. Here's the Mike Pence list. More the record funding of education.
Mm-hmm.
It's not record funding
of public education.
Reform
Mike, I'm sorry.
Of Medicaid in the country.
Excuse me, John.
Yeah, I'm not Mike. I'm John.
Force of habit.
Well, I tell you what.
Even though you don't like it, one of the lowest tax states, tax burden states.
Yeah, and
in
we're
the
still seventh from the bottom
in
economic development.
Let's pick it up at Medicaid. Let's pick it up at Medicaid. Over $2 million in advertising is coming your way. There will be TV, radio, and digital ads. Followed by print ads, billboards, and even signs on the sides of buses. It's all to encourage people to sign up for HIP 2.0, a program that the federal government approved back in January. It could mean health care coverage for as many as 350,000 Hoosiers who otherwise wouldn't have it. Call centers that were in place before the agreement was announced have already received more than 185,000 requests about HIP 2.0. 177,000 people were determined to be eligible. The ads are aimed at low-income Hoosiers, and they carry a simple message about preventive medicine.
Without it, my blood pressure and cholesterol go unchecked.
Without it, I don't get treatment for my diabetes.
Mike Pence haggled with the federal government for too long. 350,000 people went without health care for too long, and now I understand this program will help give health care to 350,000 people who should have had it a long time ago.
And that's State Democratic Chairman John Zody, who took the opportunity to criticize the governor for not expanding Medicaid sooner. John Ketzenberger, will this advertising work?
Well, better, and I hope so. We've seen already with the sign-ups that we've had, more than half of what was expected, or nearly half of what was expected, that there is the demand there. And so now if you can get the word to the people who are the hardest to reach, and that's a big challenge, then you'll be able to fully implement the program, which is, as the chairman pointed out, much needed. So hopefully that advertising campaign will work.
Well, it's half state money, half federal money. Even Zody says that spending the money is a good idea. All he challenges is the timing.
Right. I mean, who can sit here? Well, I guess there are people out there who might criticize the program.
Not on this show.
Not on this show, but we've seen other states. We've seen some politicians who would have taken stances against similar programs. But what's not to like? We have uninsured Hoosiers. We had a lot of them. Still have a lot of them.
Right.
But this is putting a good dent into it. And, you know, people should feel good about the coverage that's being extended. As was noted, one of the officials involved said, you know, some people are getting dental coverage for the first time, and they're in their 40s and 50s. And, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a program that is much needed.
Yes. One of the interesting aspects of what's going on here is that it's bringing HIP 2.0 to the forefront. This is possibly the biggest accomplishment Mike Pence has had, and yet because of the failed rollout of a state-run news service and then RFRA, it's gotten very little attention.
Well, it will be the most enduring thing that it will be a part of his legacy. There's no doubt in my mind, because it's such an essential need. And I think with 90% of those signing up are now at federal poverty level and below, 71% of those people are signing up for the where they have to pay.
Copays.
It's not really a copay, but they've got HSA of sorts, and they have to put some money up and
right.
have some skin in the game, as it's been said. And that's surprising to me. I'm glad they're doing it. They get into this HIP Plus program, which is extra benefits, talk about the vision plan and the dental plan. It's pretty interesting that that's happening. So the target is 357,000 enrollees, hopefully by the end of the year. And that's a very good thing, I think, as John has said.
And that will lower, presumably, health care costs for everybody. That's the idea.
That's the whole idea. And I'm sure the ads will thank the president for Obamacare coming to Indiana. But, you know, what's interesting about this is it's a good program. I said from the beginning I didn't care what he called it, as long as we had Hoosiers covered and we
right.
needed to. And it is, you know, 18 months later than it needed to be done. But I'm glad they're advertising it, and I'm sure they'll thank the president in the ads.
Let's let John say something nice about
Obamacare.
Well,
who would have thunk it that... A Republican governor in Mike Pence, working with a Democratic administration in Barack Obama and his leadership, came together on a very innovative plan that ultimately depends on how things shake out with a lot of things with the Supreme Court decision upcoming. But that aside, it could be a model for the rest of the country.
It could be.
And so it's a great
thing. Either that or a sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think for those 177,000 covered, it's
no,
apocalypse.
Not that. Certainly.
Speaking of signs of the apocalypse, the First Church of Cannabis opened its doors this week. It's an abandoned church on the south side where a sign out front advertises weekly services. Inside, founder Bill Levin spoke from the pulpit, explaining that church members will worship, love, and conduct services that include sacraments. Those sacraments involve the use of marijuana or cannabis, which he calls a health supplement. 700 people have already paid dues to join the church, and the first service will be conducted on July 1st, the same day that the RFRA law takes effect. Here is Levin, followed by his attorney, Jonathan Sturgill.
I am here to speak the truth about the plant, to share the love of the plant, and to celebrate life's great adventure with each and every person on this planet.
Under RFRA, everyone knows you have a right to your religious freedom.
You know, I mean, like, I couldn't even sell my house now that it's next to a drug den. That's what we're calling it.
And that's church neighbor Sarah Taylor, who says that if this is Mike Pence's fault, they should put the building in his neighborhood. John Schwanes, will the Church of Cannabis get away with this?
Very complicated question, Jim. I mean, first of all, will this unfold as they say? Will people spark up, as
right.
Bill Evans said? Then, if that's the case, how will law enforcement handle it? Will they choose just to look the other direction?
Sturgill says that they don't come into Catholic churches and arrest
right.
minors who are receiving communion.
Now, I'm sure that there are those, and maybe Bill Evans, who would actually prefer to see police come in and maybe make some arrests, because this is tied, of course, to
right.
the enactment of RFRA. The first service is on that, coincides with that day. But whether law enforcement wants to take the bait or not, then if they do, it goes to a judge, and it's a mixed record. But there have been judges who have looked at the marijuana issue before, and they say, is this a serious church or not? And then the question, that shows you how dangerous this is.
That's the key issue.
Well, yeah, the serious question is, how does someone decide what a serious religious
yeah.
belief is? I can't get in your head or your heart any more
Thank
than
heaven.
A...
Well, let's try, John. Is this a serious church or not?
I think that Bill Levin is very serious about what he's doing, but I think that he is going to face legal challenges because the authorities won't treat it as a serious church, and they'll have to sort it out in the courts. You know, credit to him for testing the limits, and that's how it works.
Prosecutor Terry Curry says marijuana possession is illegal, and it doesn't matter where that possession takes place, but RFRA can be used as a defense.
Oh, there's no question that RFRA can be used as an offense. And I assume that Mike Pence and the three stooges that were behind him in favor of that law will all stand up and defend it here, because it isn't what you believe as long as it's the sincerity of your belief. The problem they have is not just RFRA, but the IRS, for example, with tax exemption.
Right.
The radical right has intimidated the IRS so much that if you have the word church in your heading, they're not going to touch you. So I think they're going to probably succeed.
This is something Mike Pence didn't anticipate. Right?
Well, it has nothing to do with whether he anticipated or not. You've got, if this is a church and it's declared a not-for-profit organization in that regard, a religious enterprise, then that's a matter for somebody else to decide. It is a silly church, okay, in my view, and it's one that most Hoosiers will sit there and look at in a practical, common sense way, say, this really kind of is nutty, let's just leave it alone, see what happens. If it's bad for the neighborhood will figure it out along with the prosecutor.
You don't think they'll get busted?
They might.
Okay.
But the most telling revelation this week, in addition about the church location, is that one of the old church offices will be designated and set aside as a gift shop.
Right.
That's all you need to know. I mean, Hard Rock selling T-shirts, not the food.
Dues. That's AA meetings in the basement. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: Should it be legal to smoke marijuana in a church? Your choices are A, yes; B, no; or C, Dave's not here. Last week's question: did the governor do the right thing by welcoming Indy Pride? 18% said yes, 15% said no, 67% said good idea, poor execution. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. There was a fight between two women at the Beech Grove Walmart this week. The two women battled in a shampoo aisle where other shoppers watched, and at least one of them recorded the fight. His recording became a YouTube sensation. In the video, you can see a 6-year-old boy throwing things and punching one of the women. The other woman called a local radio station to say that's her son, but she isn't worried about him getting hurt because he's been taking martial arts classes for 2 years.
I mean, he's a little crazy kid. Like, he's just one that I don't have to worry about him ever being bullied in high school.
Yeah, and that woman was charged with child neglect today. John Hammond, should those women go to jail?
Well, it does give new meaning to the name Head and Shoulders, I'd say that. Someone should go to jail over it. And I feel badly for Beech Grove. I feel badly, frankly, for Walmart. I mean, it's an indication, I think, of the continuing coarsening of our culture. And this is happening not just at that particular establishment, other retail establishments. There's just been a very difficult, whether it's shoplifting or other things. I know they've had difficulties, but it's something I feel sorry for the community for.
Is this evidence of a breakdown of society, or simply evidence that there are more camera phones out there?
It's probably a combination of both. I mean, I can't remember. I cannot ever recall seeing a fight like that in a retail establishment. And again, it gives another black eye. I mean, between the HIV and the RFRA and this, it gives a black eye to Indiana again.
I have to say, though, I think Mayor Buckley's response has been very strong.
He was very good
this,
about it. That's right.
Because immediately he came along and said, we've been working on ordinances of this. It's unacceptable that we've had so many runs to Walmart. He's named another place, a hotel there that's had a lot of runs. He's working very hard with the city council down there and all the officials to try to make sure that this doesn't happen, because it is bad, it is not good, and hopefully they'll get it policed and taken care of.
Finally, one more blast from Bill Levin, the founder of the First Church of Cannabis. When he got a platform this week, he used it not only to promote the benefits of marijuana, but also tobacco smoking.
Hey, all of you, okay? There's some smokers out here. We appreciate our cigars. We love them. And I'm always going to have one. You got a problem with it, take it to your mama. You know, dearest.
And Delaney, Hunter S. Thompson once said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Are we there?
Oh, I think we're pretty close. It's going to be interesting to see what the the dues to that church are and how well this minister does.
$4.20.
Is that all?
A month.
A month. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how many people sign up. It's just, you know, I wish I could think that the courts are going to intervene and close it down, but I don't. I mean, I think that everybody's been so intimidated by the radical right and freedom. You, for example, in bankruptcy, you don't have to pay all your unsecured creditors, but you can give 15% of your gross income to charity. Okay, well, what's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, but they are opposed to fights in the aisles of Walmart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's brotherly love, sisterly love. So.
Oh, good.
That's
is it just that it's in Walmart?
The deity doesn't or whatever?
This will go on in the parking lot.
Stop this program
Yeah,
now.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican John Hammond, John Schwanes of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR or starting Monday. You can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T, rethink possible. We'll be right back.